Welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and today we're going to do something a little bit different. I have been thinking a lot about this, and listen, we are going through a very difficult time. I wanted to just share my thoughts with you. Usually this is interview style, but today is going to be a monologue. I hope that what I've got to share with you is something that is beneficial for you, and it's going to be something that is a learning opportunity for all of us. Let me give you just a little bit of background. I think that many of you may know me outside of just my podcasting experience. I am an author. I am a motivational speaker. And it's so funny, when I say that I'm a motivational speaker, I have to immediately defend myself and say, no, I do not live in a van down by the river. And I do not tell my audiences that if they don't change their lives, they are going to end up living in a van down by the river. Anybody who doesn't get that joke, it is one of the more classic understandings of what a motivational speaker is. As a speaker, I talk to a number of different audiences. I have written a children's anti-bullying book called Who Me? Yeah, You. And with that, I go and I do some anti-bullying presentations geared especially for elementary school students, but I'm also doing those for middle school and high school students as well, to talk about not just what happens with bullying, not just the logistical parts of it, but really what I want to talk to is the bystanders, to give them an understanding of the important role that they play when they don't speak up, when they don't say anything. The message that they communicate to the bully is, it's okay what you're doing. That's just not acceptable. On top of that, statistics will show you that somewhere around 78% of the time, if someone speaks up to the bully and says this is not acceptable, that the bullying stops within about 30 seconds. So that's why it's so important to get that message out to kids. I also speak to medical professionals about quality healthcare from a patient's perspective. That's really something I'm passionate about. I just had the opportunity to do a presentation on Thursday about this very topic, and I do some presentations for human resource professionals to be able to talk to them about disability and employment. It's a huge issue. Let me just give you some statistics on this. The employment rate of people with disabilities between the ages of 16 and 64 is 19.3%. The employment percentage of people without disabilities between 16 and 64 is 66.2%. So what you're looking at there is a huge number of people with disabilities who are not employed. And so I just want to talk to human resource professionals and explain to them some of the myths, bust some of those myths, and really just talk about the logistics. And hopefully what I'd like to do is break down some of the fear that comes from the unknown and break down some of those barriers that are there and really open up some opportunities. Because as you can imagine, when you're looking at that large of a population, because the population of people with disabilities in the United States, 61 million people. And of that, less than 20% are working. So it's a large untapped resource. And if we can get that group of people involved in the employment world, it's really opening up a whole realm, both for people with disabilities and for employers. On top of that, I do some customized messages that I'm talking to a variety of groups. I've talked to housing groups. I've talked to real estate groups. I've talked to nonprofits, and really adapting a message that fits for them. But one of the other areas that I'm really kind of passionate about, an area that's kind of in my wheelhouse, is talking about inspiration, talking about the fact that everybody goes through difficult times. Everybody has rough experiences. And so really, I have developed a new presentation that is kind of my parallel between my own journey of recovery and the experience of COVID-19. And really, I would love to share that with you today. My title for this particular message is More Than Mere Survival. And I'm going to tell you the story about how I went through a difficult time, what I learned out of that, what my experience was out of that. And then hopefully I'd like to draw some parallels about what's going on with this whole pandemic and how it's a very similar situation. And then I want to also share with you some of the very important lessons that I've learned as I have gone through that experience, and hopefully how they are going to apply not just to me, not just to my rehab, but also are going to apply to the way that we as a nation and we as a world are going to be able to recover from this pandemic, and what's the future going to be like. Because I don't want us just to survive. What I'm looking for is thriving. I'm looking for success. I'm looking for us, as one of my previous guests, MJ Calloway, said, she doesn't want us to bounce back. She wants us to bounce up. It's a concept I love, and it's something that I'm hoping that we can learn from this. So my story is this. When I was 21 years old, I was involved in a body surfing injury, and I was on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. I was riding a wave in towards the shore, and as I rode it towards the shore, instead of the wave carrying me forward, it pushed me down. I hit my head on the bottom. I felt a crunch. I heard a pop, and then everything went cold. A friend of mine pulled me out of the water, saved my life from there. I was sent up to Norfolk General Hospital. I was on a ventilator for a couple days. It was touch and go as to whether or not I was going to survive. Once they finally got me stabilized, they put this, I would call it an instrument of medieval torture on me. It was a halo. And what it was is it's a vest that went around my chest. It had four bars, two in the front and two in the back, that went up to a metal circle that went around my head. And from that metal circle, there were literally four screws attached to my skull. You can see up here on my forehead, there are two scars from that. Back on the back of my head, there are also some scars. Thankfully, my hair has grown over those and you can't see them. But here's what happened. That particular device held my head stable while I was healing, so that they went in, they did some surgery, they put, I think, 11 or 13 screws in my neck. There's some titanium plates in there. They've wrapped it with chicken wire, all of this stuff to stabilize my neck so that the healing could take place. From Norfolk General, I was then airlifted up to the Philadelphia area, which is where my parents are from, which is where I grew up. And I was in rehab for the next 6 months. Interestingly enough, my rehab was in two sections. The original part of my rehab was done at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. And while I was there, it was really acute care. It was touch and go as to whether or not I was going to survive. I was dealing with pneumonia, pancreatitis, all kinds of different issues that were going on there. Once I was stable enough, I was doing some rehab there, but it wasn't as intense. Once I'm stable enough that they weren't worried about my survival rate, I was transferred over to a rehab called McGee Rehabilitation Hospital in Philadelphia. I spent 4 months there, so 2 months at Thomas Jefferson, 4 months at McGee. And during that whole experience, I am starting to regain strength. I'm having to learn how to do things differently because, as you can imagine, when I broke my neck, I've got some major limitations. What it means for me is I'm basically paralyzed from the chest down with limited use of my arms and hands. So I've got biceps, but not triceps. I don't really have use of my hands from the, like using my fingers per se. All I have is what is called tenodesis. You can look it up. It's what it means is this. When I lift up my wrist, it draws my hand into a ball and I get a pinch between my thumb and my forefinger. That's what I have. I can use that to pick things up. I can use that to hold, whatever I need. I can hold a sandwich, hold potato chips, hold playing cards, whatever I'm doing at the time, I can make that work based just on having the ability to lift my wrist up. I don't have the ability to flex my wrist the other way. I can only go up, not down. So this is what I've got. And I'm learning how to use it. I'm learning how to get stronger. And finally, after 6 months, and it's literally 6 months to the day, my insurance company says, you know what? Your time is up. We are not going to pay for you to be in the hospital anymore. You have exhausted your 6 months worth of hospital stay. You're done. And so here I am. I'm discharged from the hospital. My parents' home is not accessible at this point. They are trying to make it so, and they're working on that. I have no place to go. Thankfully, my girlfriend's parents had made their house accessible, and I moved into their home. During the time that I lived there, I proposed to her. She went from being my girlfriend to being my fiance, which was fantastic. But here I am. I'm living at their house. It's not my home. It's their home. And I don't have my power wheelchair yet. What I have is a manual wheelchair. And the difficulty is my injury occurred on a slant. So my right side is stronger than my left side, which means when I try and push a manual wheelchair, because my right side is stronger, basically the chair goes in circles. So even though I'm making progress, I'm getting stronger. Now I can feed myself. I can do some elements of taking care of myself. But you know what? It's not a lot, but I can do more than I could at the beginning. It's a slow process, but just even the ability to get around the house, I can't do it. What I'm able to do is just go around in circles, and it's very difficult, and it's very, very challenging. Finally, I get my power wheelchair. I move back into my parents' house, and now I have a power wheelchair I can get around in the house. We also were able to get a van that had a lift in it so that I was able to get around outside. But now the problem is that I can't go by myself. I can't drive the van. Somebody else has to drive me, which is difficult. And so as I'm going through this experience, I'm gaining levels of strength. I'm getting levels of self-care. I'm getting levels of independence, but it doesn't all happen at once. It's going on a step-by-step-by-step recovery. Finally, I'm able to go and I get my driver's license back again. I now have a van that I can drive, and I'm able, for the most part, to be fairly independent. Now, when I say fairly independent, that means I still need help. I still need someone to help me get out of bed in the morning. I need someone to help me get back in bed at night. I need help, you know, with different elements of self-care. I need help with, you know, getting my food onto my plate for dinner. I can, you know, hold my plate on my lap, but just even getting the food on it, it's not that easy. I can feed myself, but like, as I said, there are different levels of independence, and I am much more independent now than I was at the beginning. But what I came to realize is I can never go all the way back to where I was on August 19th, 1993. That was the day before my injury. I am never going to be able to go back there. What I can do, though, is figure out what do I have and what can I make work and how do I move forward with where I am. And really, that's the parallel that I see going on with the world of COVID right now. Our country, our world was given a devastating setback. And all of a sudden, everything got shut down, and there is a major concern. Are we going to survive this pandemic? Are we going to make it through? And for the first little bit, it was a matter of, like, this is running rampant, and there's a number of people dying, and how do we make mitigating risks? How do we take care of this and make sure that we're safe? And what we need to learn is this. We can never go back to pre-pandemic state. We are never going to be able to just go 100% back. And let me give you an analogy, because when I was in rehab, there were guys that I was in rehab with, and their basic take on it was this. Listen, we were told that in the next 3 to 5 years, they were going to come up with a cure for spinal cord injury. And these guys were like, this is great. I'm excited about this. And so their basic take on life was this. I'm going home from rehab. I'm going to sit in my house, and I'm going to wait until the cure comes out for spinal cord injury. And when that cure comes out, I'm going to flip the switch from off to on. I'm going to just pick up back where I was, and I'm just going to resume my old life. There are two things about that I want to point out. Number one, they have not come up with a cure for spinal cord injury yet. At this point, they tell you it's 2 to 4 years away. And okay, so that means in the last 27 years, they've made a full year of progress on the whole thing, which is kind of sad. But the other piece is this. I've come to understand that if there is a cure for spinal cord injury, the likelihood is that it's not going to be a complete cure. It's not going to be something that immediately reconnects all of the nerves in my neck with all of the nerves below the level of my injury. So it's not going to be a complete cure. It's only going to be a partial cure. And so even if there is a quote-unquote cure, it's not going to get me back to August 19th, 1993. I will never get back there. There's always going to be some degree of limitation. There's always going to be some degree of obstacles, of barriers, of difficulty. It's always going to be there. So the challenge becomes, okay, if we're going to do something about this, if we're going to move forward from this, what is it about? And it's, like I said, it's not going to be waiting to flip the switch. We can't just wait for the miracle to come that will allow us to go back to where we were. Additionally, we have to understand that there are limitations in the world. There are obstacles that we are facing. As a world, as a country, as individuals, we are all facing difficult times, difficult circumstances. If we are just waiting for the cure, if we are just waiting until things get better, we sit and we wait and we wait. And here's the sad part about it. The thing that I've realized is this. We are only given so many minutes in our lives. We don't know how many minutes we have, but we have only so many minutes to live. And if we choose to wait, what we are doing is we are just giving those minutes away. There are minutes that we are never going to get back. There are minutes that we are never going to be able to do anything else with. As we wait, we give away the gift of the present. So the question then is, what do we do right now? How do we build on where we are right now? And that's where I want to get into some of the lessons that I have learned through my experiences of recovering and rehabilitating from what most would call a devastating injury. So in that, the first thing that I had to come to realize is, who am I? Number one, I am not defined by my physical condition. I'm not defined by being in a wheelchair. I'm not defined by having a disability. I'm not defined by my limitations. I am Rob. The fact that I have a spinal cord injury does not change that. I still have the same terrible sense of humor. I still have the same character flaws. I still have the same outlook on life. I still have the same beliefs. I still have the same faith. The essence of who I am cannot be taken away from me merely because my physical circumstances have changed. I believe the same lesson applies to us as Americans. And wherever you are from, whatever your background is, I think that it applies to us as humans as well. And here's what I mean. America is a country that was founded on the principles of entrepreneurship, the principles of freedom, the principles of liberty. And I honestly believe that those principles are principles that are inherent to all of us as humans. For example, why does life begin at all? It begins because a baby has grown to fill the confines of its mother's womb, and it's looking for freedom. It's looking for independence. It's looking to be released from its place of confinement and come into a place where it is no longer having that confinement, where it can grow, where it can begin to learn and move and become independent. And honestly, what is a baby's journey? A baby's journey is one of gaining the tools to eventually become an independent, self-sustaining individual, right? That's what children do. They grow from being helpless and reliant on others. But then as they begin to grow, they are beginning to learn how to walk, beginning to learn how to communicate, beginning to learn how to feed themselves, to clothe themselves, to learn how to make a living for themselves. And eventually, whether that is graduation from high school, graduation from college, whatever it is, they are going to one day begin the disembarkation process where they're moving out of their parents' home and they're becoming independent and they're becoming their own person. That is what the human life is all about. And that's what I see happening in all of us. We are humans. We want to be independent. We want to be self-sustaining. We want to care for ourselves. We want to have our abilities utilized to benefit others, to create a life for ourselves. You can disagree with me if you want, but I'm telling you from my perspective, this is what humanity and life is all about. And in my particular circumstances, what I've had to learn is that my limitations don't define me. My appearance does not define me. And what other people think about me does not define me. What defines me is what I have inside. It's my personality. It's my character. It's my beliefs. It's my relationship. It's my ability that I bring into relationships, into work, into the world. Those are the things that define me. That is who I am. I am not defined by my limitations. I am defined by what I can do. And I think that's an important lesson for us to learn as we go through this whole COVID experience. We are surrounded by all of the things that we can't do. You can't congregate more than 25 people, at least not here in Pennsylvania. You can't go outside without wearing a mask. You can't, and the list of things that you can't do is longer and more daunting than I would ever want to imagine that it could have been. We can't do this and we can't do that. And as such, it becomes very difficult because we become so focused and we like, why can't I do this? I want to do this. I used to do this. This is what I want. I don't want the limitations. I had to come to grips with that very thing in dealing with my injury to understand the question is not what am I unable to do? The question is, what can I do? And that's really, I think, all of us have an opportunity right now to say, what are my abilities and how do I use those abilities to impact the world around me, to make a difference in the relationships that I have, my abilities to encourage and build up other people, to listen to other people, my abilities in employment, my abilities to... John Wooden, the basketball coach, said something along these lines. Nobody ever achieved greatness by focusing on what they can't do. So as I'm recovering in the rehab process, the question becomes, what do you want to do in life? And I began to really look at what are my goals in life? What do I want to achieve in life? And as I began to lay out those goals, my occupational therapist basically said this: you set the goals and then I will work with you to achieve those goals. You may not do it like you used to do it, right? It's not going to be done like it was August 19th, 1993. It's not going to be done like it was pre-pandemic. It's not going to be done like everybody else does it. Different countries are doing things different ways and different organizations are doing things different ways. Different states are doing things different ways. Everybody has a different way of doing things. And you may not be able to do it like everybody else does it. It's going to take creativity and it's going to take perseverance. But whatever your goals are, you will be able to reach them if you're willing to put in the effort and willing to be creative in how you use the abilities that you have to achieve the goals that you have set for yourself. Because this is ultimately what it's about. The question becomes, how do I engage the world? Because for me, it's been a very obvious change. No longer do I walk around and engage the world from a standing perspective. No longer do I have that hands-on experience. I'm engaging the world in a different way. And with COVID, we're engaging with other people in a different way. A lot more virtual stuff, a lot more stuff that is, it's just different. But here's the beauty of it. We are still engaging with other people. And so the question is, as we engage the world, how do we use the abilities that we have to make a positive impact? I came to learn this as well. Everybody's got limitations. Everybody faces adversity. Everybody faces difficulties. I had, the cover of my second book. My first book was called Still Walking. My second book is called Still Falling. And Still Falling, the cover is footprints through the snow. And the reason I chose that is because in the wintertime, walking through the snow is a dangerous trek. There's ice. Walking through snow itself is difficult. And there are hidden dangers underneath the snow. And the fact is this, as we are going through life, right now the environment is harsh. It is set up against us. But when we fall, and we are going to fall, there is a major danger of not doing anything. If we don't do anything when we fall, we become immobilized. And if you fall in the snow, you deal with hypothermia, you deal with frostbite, and eventually you deal with death due to exposure. Okay? That's what comes when we fall and we don't do anything. There is then the danger that says, listen, it's snowing outside. I can't go anywhere. I'm not going to do anything. And I'm just afraid. If we are immobilized, if we are completely just afraid to do anything, our ability to make an impact, our ability to use the strengths that we have is taken away because of fear. There's also this, when we fall, we need to get back up. And when we get back up, there also needs to be this, we need to learn from the experience and to understand what happened, what can I learn from it, and how do I make sure that this doesn't happen again? So we're going through a difficult time. We're going to have some stumbles. We're going to have some falls. We need to learn from those and say, how do we progress? How do we move forward in that? Being human involves having weaknesses. We have a fear of being, comparing ourselves to other people and being less than other people. We have a fear of other people seeing us as being less than perfect. Sometimes we deal with imposter syndrome where we, I feel this when I'm doing my public speaking, right? Like, I'm just little old Rob Oliver. Why would anybody listen to me? But what I've come to understand is, listen, I've gone through these experiences. I've had this. And all I'm doing is sharing the gist of being humanity, of being human. And in that, sharing life lessons. And those are what I'm sharing. It doesn't make me any better than anybody else. I'm not sharing my message because I have any more anything. I'm just sharing it because of how it speaks to the heart of humanity. The last thing that I want to talk about, and I really want to close with this, that going through adversity, going through difficult times actually has benefits, right? Think about this. As we go through adversity, it's going to build strength. Muscles are not built by sitting on the couch. They are built by strenuous activity. They are built by dealing with adversity. Lifting weights is picking up adversity and moving it, right? The weights are difficult. It's not easy. But as we do that, it builds strength. Additionally, it reveals character. It shows who we truly are on the inside. Character is not built during adversity. Character is revealed during adversity. And so my challenge is that wherever you are and whatever you're going through, make your decisions about what is true and what is your guiding principles for life right now. And as you go through the difficult times, that will show up again. The last thing is that I want to close up with this. Adversity allows growth. And actually, no. Adversity forces growth. And this is the story that has really stood out to me. It's the story of the lodgepole pine. The lodgepole pine grows in Western United States and in Western Canada. It grows in extremely harsh environments, dry, rocky terrain. That's where it grows. It grows up to be up to 160 feet tall. It can be a very large tree. It grows to be up to 7 feet in diameter. Here's a really cool thing about it. The branches are elastic and they are super hard to break. So it's growing in a harsh environment. It is difficult to break it because it's flexible. It's got many uses, both for building and for medicinal purposes. It's a stately tree that has been recognized in the province of Alberta as the provincial tree. And I tell you all of that to tell you this. The seed of the lodgepole pine cannot germinate unless it goes through a forest fire. That seed is covered in a very airtight, watertight resin. And that resin will only melt in the presence of fire. The adversity has to come through for the lodgepole pine to grow and to take off. I think that's the same thing that we have an opportunity in our lives. We're going through a rough time. We're going through the fire, but the fire gives us an opportunity for growth. I don't want us to just survive this pandemic. I want us to come out the other side, having learned valuable lessons. And we may not do everything like we used to do them. We may not do everything like everybody else does them. It may be a great opportunity for us to show what our creativity is, what our resolve is, and for us to be more successful after the pandemic than we were before. It's not just about surviving. It is about thriving. It is about succeeding. And I tell you all of this because, listen, I'm living proof. I have, as a result of my injury, I am now a three-time best-selling author. I have twice been awarded the Best Of annual award as the top-rated motivational speaker in my hometown of Pittsburgh. These are things that are happening because of what I went through. And if you ask me, Rob, would you have changed that day? Would you have gone back to August 20th, 1993 and said, don't go in the water? I don't think I would have, because I have learned more as a result of the adversity than I would have if I hadn't gone through it at all. And I feel like the same thing can apply during this pandemic. We can find out who we really are and what we're really capable of because we have been through the fire. Thanks for listening. I hope this has been something that you've enjoyed. If you want to check out my motivational speaking, it's yourmotivationalspeaker.com, because if you're looking for a motivational speaker and you found me, you have found your motivational speaker. Thanks again for listening. I will remind you, as always, when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.